Good afternoon, everybody. This is Barb Tello, and I'm a group director at InfoTrends, and I'm delighted that all of you could join us. We're going to be talking about building a loyal customer base. And in today's market, nothing is more important than building a group of loyal customers. Now, I'm joined by two individuals that do a tremendous job at customer loyalty. They both have different perspectives on the market. And the first is Walter Cohn, and he's the owner of Spectra Integration. And the second is Mark Dijon. He's the director of sales at Darwell. Now, before we get started, what I would like to do is just make sure that you've got a good set of tips for enjoying today's webinar. First of all, if you're having any technical difficulties, let us know by using the Q&A box, or you can troubleshoot by clicking the help widget below. Common problems like loss of sound and or a stall in the slides can often be fixed by just doing a quick refresh of your browser. Now, the other thing is throughout the webinar, we'll be taking your questions, and all you have to do is submit via the Q&A box. Please disable pop-up blockers. And, oh, by the way, if you want to see what this console can do, just click on the Tips for Attendees widget for a complete rundown. Now, from the perspective of our agenda for today, I'm going to spend just a minute talking about building loyal customers and the kind of expertise that it takes. Walter's going to talk about building loyalty in its distribution channel, and Mark's going to talk about how a nonprofit that he worked closely with built loyal members and gathered donations. We'll wrap up with some quick recommendations and open it up for any questions that you might have. Now, some people say that, oh, by the way, if you want to build or get loyalty, you should get a dog. This happens to me, by the way, everybody, my dog, and he is very, very loyal. Now, I would also tell you, though, that when you think about loyalty, I just got done reading a recently published article in Inc. magazine, and it talked about what drives customer loyalty now. It was written by an author and a speaker and a consultant, Tom Searcy. And I thought it was interesting because he said, you know, to win deals in today's market requires expertise. And I thought it was well put when he said, you know, if you know your product, you're a human catalog. If you know your services, you're a technician. If you can match your products or services to the needs of your customer, you're a salesperson. If you understand your customer's problems and business, you're a consultant. And if you know a customer's industry, market challenges, and competitors, you're an expert. And what everybody's saying is that in today's market, to truly build loyal customers requires expertise. And these same companies are looking for experts, people, by the way, like Walter and Mark, that have built up expertise and can make recommendations that save them time, money, and reduce their overall business risk. And so what we're going to hear from are two experts that truly do understand loyalty programs. Now, when you think about loyalty, they've been around, and the loyalty programs have been around since S&H Green Stamps. But today, they're a whole lot more. These are the characteristics of a good customer loyalty program. It includes clear benefits, achievable rewards, consistency, sustainability, a feeling of appreciation, engagement, personalized and ongoing print and electronic communications, and, by the way, rewarding referrals. If customers don't understand the program or the terms have changed, then they'll be uninterested at best and in some instances betrayed at worst. Now, what you're going to hear about are a couple different types of loyalty programs. And both represent big business opportunity in today's market. The first is what Spectra Integration is doing, and it's a channel incentive program. And what channel incentive programs do is they actually offer channel partners or distributors something that motivates them, rouses or encourages specific behavior. And what they're trying to do with an incentive program is you try and get your distribution channel to sell more product within a specific period of time by giving them bonuses and incentives. And by the way, the incentive could be anything from a large screen TV to a trip to Tahiti or cash incentives. Now, these types of programs require vast amount of variable data printing to drive participation as well as notifications of respective reward levels. These campaigns also need to be aimed at individuals, living, breathing people, so they need to be exciting. They need to provoke an immediate response, and they need to make people really, really want to participate. Service providers like Spectra Integration are responsible for stimulating that positive reaction at the launch and then sustaining the energy and enthusiasm throughout the campaign with frequent targeted communications. And Walter's going to take us through exactly how to make that happen. Now, the next type of program that Mark's going to talk to you about are membership, retention, and loyalty programs. And these are designed around associations and nonprofit organizations that are trying to grow members and move members to more expensive membership categories with a heavy focus on retention. By the way, when you look at associations and nonprofits, retention is critical. Marketers in these nonprofit organizations want to minimize the churn. High retention rates are a single signal that you've got a group of happy, satisfied members. And happy, satisfied members typically will tell their story to others and create a grassroots recruitment program. I think we've all heard that saying, you know, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Well, it typically means that it takes a lot less effort to keep a member than to find a new one. In both instances, it takes skills and expertise to deliver these programs. And so you'll hear about those respective skills and expertise from both Walter and Mark. Now, another big thing about these campaigns is that we did a cross-media study, and one of the things that we learned about was that there's a heavy movement toward personalization. And, in fact, when we talked to marketing executives, what they told us was that basically 60% of the communications that they do today are either one-to-one or one-to-few. They're segmented. The other thing about all of these campaigns is it's all channels on now. And the mean number of channels that these marketing executives are using to communicate with are three. So it means social, mobile, print, and online. All are part of the mix. When you ask the marketing executives what the top challenges are, it's how do I develop that campaign? How do I design for different types of media? How do I track and analyze the results? And how do I manage across all that media? These are the kinds of things that Mark and Walter are helping those marketing executives navigate through. And so what we're seeing is that they've become experts. And so we're seeing huge opportunity in terms of these types of campaigns. And so with that, what I am going to do is I'm going to turn it over to Walter. He'll share with you the journey and the evolution that's taken to build expertise. And I thought Confucius said it right when he said, a journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. And so with that, I am going to turn it over to Walter, and Walter's going to share with you what they're doing at Spectra Integration. Walter, take it away.
Barb, thank you so much, and I welcome everybody to the webinar today. I'm honored to speak to all of you on behalf of Spectra Integration, coming out of South Carolina today, and we're glad to talk to you. Barb's exactly right. If you look at my first slide, it's been a natural evolution. I've spent over 30 years in the printing industry, and what I've learned over these 30 years is it has been a great background. Printing for my company is really in the background, although, folks, we still do a lot of it, and I love it. It's an important part of what we do every day. The background gave us the ability to go into the foreground, which is cross-media communications. And we saw the segue into that about 6 or 7 years ago. But we had to have that printing background. That allowed us to deal with customers like you all are dealing with at the C-level, the CMOs, the CEOs, the CFOs. we basically quit working with purchasing or procurement people for the most part, not 100%, but for the most part, 6 or 7 years ago, we made a conscious decision to go horizontally and vertically within the corporation and start dealing with the CMOs where the decisions were made and the strategies were created going forward. We also found out a very important aspect of what they were doing is they did not see print as the end-all, cure-all for the way they would deliver their content going forward. So for us to stay in the game, we had to become a cross-media company. And we started with some simple tools that I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with, such as Pearl technology and, you know, different things like that, target one-to-one marketing, direct mail. We are a mail house, which made it a lot easier for us to segue into that targeted one-to-one marketing. We embraced digital color VDP about 9 to 10 years ago. It took a while before we became competent in delivering those kind of products to the market, but thank goodness we started back then. As we've progressed, we've become a marketing company rather than a printing company. We even changed our name. If you look at our original slide, and I'll go back one, we changed our name to Spectra Integration about 5 years ago. We had printing in our name prior to that. So what that allows us to do is that when we go into a prospect, we go in as a communications company and one source to that company so they do not have to contact 6 or 7 different vendors for communications. So the evolution was from commercial offset to digital print to fulfillment. And that took us straight into the direct mail and to the strategy of marketing. Once we got into that marketing and we were able to see exactly what was going on inside the corporation, we knew we had to support them in many ways. And we asked the customers what they were looking for. And as a fulfillment company, our general typically what we did on a day-to-day basis was we built kits, we picked and packed, we mailed. But what some of the customers wanted at the enterprise level was they wanted a company that could create smart kits. And what do I mean by that? We started creating kits with pearls attached to them. If everybody doesn't know what a pearl is, it is a personal URL. We were sending out kits for corporations that actually had response back from the kits to the corporation to let people know when they were opening their kits and if they had received the information in the marketing collateral and how it was being used. I'll go to the next slide to show you what that took us into. That took us into our marketing division, and we call that division Spectra Dynamic. And the reason we call it dynamic, if you look at that logo on the slide, you'll notice we have trademarked our analytics from all our strategies, and we call it response dynamics. And our tagline is build, retain, and strengthen. And what we try to do with our direct mail with pearls and our smart kitting and anything we do electronically through the internet, even through our portals that we build, we try to make sure we have a back-end analysis of responses and things that we can republish back to the client. What this does is it gives us the ability to go in and manage different kinds of distribution channels for the content. Being in this business a long time, I can remember 20 years ago when we were still at the height of printing that if you took a pie chart and you divided it, that a corporation spend in advertising was about 60%, 65% in marketing. Today, that number is hovering around 20 to 23%. So we've clearly lost 40% of their spend in the last 20 years. The trend is to continue to go down. How do we stay involved with that company? More than likely, the company has not gone away. They've changed their strategy on how they deliver their content. So it's Spectra Integration. Our challenge was to get in front of the communication curve and the deliverable, that's what we've tried to do. There's some things, obviously, that Spectra cannot do. But what we do in a situation like that is we team up with an outsourced partner and go in as a unified approach to these corporations. For instance, video. Video is one of the big things that we're involved in and that always seem to find a way in a high-end marketing strategy. And when we're involved in that, we don't have the expertise in that. We hire an outsourced partner that will go in with us. But it's all part of a unified, homogenized marketing campaign. So,
Walter, I just got a question for you. You mentioned you outsource some of this. How do you present the concept of you're outsourcing to somebody else in terms of the relationship that you have with your customer base? Do they care?
That is a great question, and it happened as late as last week, and we actually took the outsource partner in with us. It's developed on trust. Our customers trust us to bring in the right solution to them. Our agreement with them is that we are managing the process. We are 100% responsible for the performance of our partners, and they make one call, and we do not shove off any of the responsibility. When we create these marketing strategies, these outsource partners are part of our plan. They're not an outsider. They don't handle the business on their own. They work at our bequest, and we're working for the client. So it's never a problem, Barb.
Okay. And I've got one other question from the audience. And so if you looked at how you described Spectra to the client base that you deal with,
yes.
You describe yourself, it's Spectra Integration, but do you describe yourself as providing more agency services, or is it really you're a marketing services provider with print fulfillment? How do they view you in terms of your position in the marketplace?
It's a blurred line, but I'll tell you, our customers like our approach better. They do not see us as an ad agency. We're not trying to be an ad agency. We're trying to be a one-to-one marketing firm. Anything that we do to communicate a customer's message is targeted one-to-one marketing. It's segmented, whether it's direct mail or through some kind of e-communication, it's always targeted. So we're trying to get down to the recipient, down to the individual.
Okay, great. Thanks, Walter.
You're quite welcome. So, you know, once we have moved into the, you know, through the marketing, I would imagine for everyone out there in the audience today that is connected in printing, your background's probably somewhat like mine is. We waited on a set of specifications to come in, and we quoted a job. It's different now. What we're doing these days is, and not 100% of the cases, because we are still a printing company, but many times what we're doing now is we're going in with our customers, and we are helping create the strategy and create the marketing calendar going forward. We find out when we do that, we bring value to the customer, and we don't get into a competitive commodity situation any longer. It becomes a value-added service. So I'm going to move on to the next slide, if you don't mind. And I want to talk a little bit about loyalty incentive programs. One of the things that Spectra has been involved in for several years is building a loyal client base. And what we've done, what we've tried to do with that concept is get the companies to outsource to us as one source. Because we're so diversified, we wanted to go and call on a company and say, look, we can provide seven or eight of these services to you that you're normally buying from seven or eight different folks. By doing that, if we bundle all this together, we will offer you incentives back. Those incentives may look like redeemable points. They may look like cash. They may look like a rebate. They could look like in-kind services. But what we're trying to do is, in a very nice way, is wrap up our clients and say, look, for your decision to do business with us and keep your spend 100% with us on everything we can do, we want to show you that we have respect for you and appreciation for you by offering you an incentive program. There's a big difference between an incentive program and a loyalty program. This is important, I think, for everybody to know. This is not my definition. This is an industry standard definition, but it applies. An incentive program is a strategy to modify behavior. It is a strategy to modify behavior by the company, whether they're trying to get their customers to spend more, they're trying to get their internal employees to do more. You can have several incentive programs running at one company, and we do. A loyalty program is the reward portion of that program. In other words, how are you rewarding the recipients for good behavior? Are you giving them points? Are you giving them air miles? Are you giving them cash? Whatever the reward is, that is your loyalty. That is what you're using to keep them loyal. But the incentive program is the strategy. That is the dynamic portion of the program. That's where Spectra has gotten so involved with incentivizing our own customers that we create a division within our company to go to other corporations and the enterprise and say, we can build you an incentives and loyalty program based on our experience. So we formed a division within our company 2.5 years ago, and that's exactly what we do. Many of these programs are driven with one-to-one marketing techniques, direct mail, VDP, e-communications, bounce-back programs, pearls, things like that. But we're doing what loyalty companies should do, but for the most part have not been doing in the past 25 to 30 years. We charge our clients for the strategy, and then we market that strategy, implement that strategy, give our clients report cards on the strategy. We don't mark up the goods. We get paid for what we should be paid for, and that's doing the best job we can do for our clients. So I wouldn't suggest that everybody on the phone today think about starting an incentives or loyalty company. But I would suggest that you figure out a way to take care of your best clients and your best prospects going forward. Is no different than if you go to the grocery store and you have a fob, you tend to go back to that grocery store, you have a credit card, you get air miles or points, you tend to use that over and over. It is the same strategy. They are incentivizing you. They're modifying your behavior. They're modifying your behavior. The reward is what you get back that you want to use.
Okay.
And you can go ahead.
Walter, just a quick one. Did you, and I'm not sure because I know you and I discussed this and I may have missed this, but could you describe to everybody how you got, did you do a good job, I guess, describing how you got into the business with an existing client, though?
Be glad to. We have a very large Fortune 100 client that we have done print and fulfillment for about 8 years. And we warehouse all their collateral and send it out. They have about 700 clients nationwide. And we've been doing that work for years. And they came to us about 2.5 years ago, and they had spent a lot of money on a incentives and loyalty program with another company. And it just wasn't going well. There was no marketing support. There was no support to the recipients and their customers. It was just a very stale program. In the past 14 years, they had spent almost $25 million on this program, and it just was going nowhere. Their customer base was going down. They had unhappy customers, and we proposed that the model was wrong. We proposed that their loyalty company's model said to them, look, we'll make our money off the redemptions, and as long as they're redeeming, that's how we'll get paid. But there was no emphasis on marketing and growing the company's bottom line and growing their customer base. We proposed an entire paradigm shift, come in there and do what was right. We were going to motivate their clients. We were going to talk to their clients directly. We were going to survey their clients. We pick up the phone. We talk to them. They tell us what they like. They tell us what they don't like. When they tell us what they don't like, we report it to our client. But the bottom line is this company hired us because they trust us and our performance over the years. Since then, they are in a backlog situation, and their client base has grown about 16%. So there was a complete paradigm shift on how we handled the incentives business and loyalty business. They couldn't be happier. It's helped us land the next account and the next account. And, one of these customers is sitting on one of the screens here, and I can tell you that that it's very important that, you know, when you – and I'm sure everybody on the line today has customers that trust them 100%, and that's why I say if they do, you can go in there and ask them, what can we do to make you stick with us? Well, if they don't know, say, we have ideas. I've got some ideas I'd like to talk to you about. And that's what we started doing. We just started talking to our best customers. And they would say, we want to outsource to you. We want you to be our one source.
That's
Help
great.
Us do that.
Let me ask you another question that we get in. You're leveraging, obviously, web to print storefronts, right?
Yes, I am.
And you're doing a lot of that with the fulfillment side. Could you just take a second to talk for a minute about the web-to-print side of the market?
I'll be happy
to. And what
to.
You're doing there?
Yes. I'm going to go to this screen here because one of the machines you see that we have right there is an Osei. And that's a monochrome version for our digital offering at Spectra. But web-to-print is a big deal for us. We build portals. We build the online portals that house electronic libraries for some corporate customers that keep all their digital assets online and things like that. And we do a lot of web-to-print in terms of direct mail, business cards, letterheads, envelopes, brochures with brochure copy changing on the fly, and things like that. And we have found out that when we got real involved in the web-to-print, it became a sales force for our company. The technology and the way we got out there and sold it and pushed it and demonstrated it, it became a salesperson. And a very viable salesperson, because once you demo that and get a client on this, they become your best salesperson. They become a great reference for us, which we reward with loyalty points for that, by the way. And it's just it couldn't be better. The thing I say about web to print and things like that is it's working while we're sleeping. So we're a big believer that when our clients do something good for us, we reward them for it. Rather than just a thank you, we give them something back. So they can be your – I mean, we all agree, and my marketing director is actually in the room with me, but we all agree that those are our best salespeople or our happiest clients.
Great. Thanks, Walter.
You're quite welcome. I enjoyed it.
And now what I'm going to do is I am going to turn over to Mark Darwell. Mark, one of the questions that we got while Walter was talking, because I mentioned early on, was nonprofits. What Mark's going to do is Mark's going to take us through how he's made the nonprofit sector and customer loyalty work for one of his major clients. And, Mark, I'm going to turn over to you and let you share what Darwell's doing on the customer loyalty side for helping their clients drive loyalty programs.
Well, great. Well, thanks, Barb. And I appreciate the chance to be with everyone today. I've been with Darwell since 1995, 12 years, serving as in the sales force, and for the last 3.5 years I've been involved with our sales in the sales leadership and being on our management team. To give everybody a little bit of background on Darwell, in some ways it's not going to sound really different than many stories that are probably out there in the on the webinar today. Darwell is a family-owned business that was started in 1951. We're based here in Chicago. One of the greatest things about working for Darwell is that there's a continued commitment and reinvestment. I would say we're probably could be viewed as early adopters of technology. It's just been it's kind of our culture, And I'm very grateful for the fact that our salespeople have the ability to really go to our customers to serve needs with some of the latest and greatest things that are out there. 15 years ago or so, when the world started going digital, in our view, there was two ways the world could be looked at. There could be a way to say, well, I'm going to do some, because we're typically, a majority of our work is on a 40-inch sheet-fed environment. And when we started looking at digital, one of the options was to say, well, now I can do some short runs in a four-color environment, just static, or we could do more things in variable information or one-to-one marketing. And we chose to go that route where we said we wanted to be involved with one-to-one marketing right from the get-go. So that meant we immediately started building expertise in what was then probably a new frontier for a lot of people as far as understanding what variable information could be all about and understanding what that could do to bring better results for our clients. So that also meant we got involved with building a development team that started building print-on-demand sites before there was out-of-the-box softwares out there. So we've been early adopters of those things. It's kind of in our culture, and it's been part of our sales process for a long time. When we look at our overall expertise and the kind of products we're providing people, we're kind of looking at a variety of things that it's turned into. Besides printing, it's turned into database services. We'll provide some marketing analytics. We'll be involved with data provision and data processing. We'll coach people on their strategy. We'll look at the cross-media elements, that a lot of things that Walter was talking about. We're providing many of those same things. And the printing side, we're still doing 40-inch sheet-fed printing. We're providing we've got four-color digital, and we've just added an OSE 3500, which is going to allow us to get into long-run inkjet technology for direct mail and publishing. We also have a fulfillment capability, so we're going to be warehousing. We run build print-on-demand POD sites that are doing pick-and-pack and fulfillment also in direct mail. Looking at where we have kind of – where I've coached our team to go and where we kind of see where opportunities are is that we've really tried to create a focused approach, that our salespeople, our efforts are focused. We want to be viewed as experts or provide consulting for certain segments and industries. So I've tried to coach my team to be experts as much as possible in certain industries so that they're just not in an order-taking environment, but they're actually providing some level of expertise or experience. So we've been doing that in the nonprofit and trade association business. We've been doing that. We work with human resource consulting firms. We'll work with higher education. We'll also work with advertising and marketing firms. Our process around doing that is this word kring is a Dutch word that means a circle of friends united around a common purpose, and that's kind of the environment we want to do, where we're working side by side, elbow to elbow with our customers so that they're actually working with us side by side in an environment where we can work together to solve their problems. So what we look at is a four-step process as we work with our customers. We have a planning and strategy component. We're not an ad agency. We're not a place that's going to create strategy, but we want to understand the strategy. We want to be involved in the planning process. So we talk and work with our customers as much as possible to be involved as early as possible in any project so that we understand what they're trying to get done, what their goals are, and if we have some expertise or experience in their area or need, we can help coach where they should go with their next step. We look at the data component as a huge part of the marketing process. So we always want to look at what kind of data we're going to be working with. Does the client need more data? Is there anything we can provide around that? Then we'll talk about the execution of the process. So that execution could be a variety of things, whether it's an email blast, direct mail, follow-up from website inquiries, whatever it may be. And at the end, we're always going to go through a discipline of measuring what we've done. We're always going to take a look, get feedback from our customer, and that could be how did the execution go, how are we doing. It could also be a little bit of providing analytics on the back end of a cross-media campaign so we can understand what our next steps are going to be. In the association nonprofit world, we're based here in Chicago, and there's a lot of Chicago is probably the second largest market in the country for trade associations. So in trade associations and nonprofits, membership fees, membership, monthly membership dues are kind of the base where a lot of revenue comes for these organizations. So their communications monthly, quarterly, annually to these groups mean a lot to these people because that's where the money's going to come from. There is going to be some fundraising also that's done, but retention is critical, as Barb mentioned earlier. These groups really want to minimize churn as much as possible. Ongoing recruitment's important, so they're going to talk a lot about how we're going to get new members to show up to this institution. And what we've seen is that a lot of these organizations, because they're in nonprofits, are going to have not the robust marketing departments that a lot of organizations have, that would be in the for-profit world. So many times these groups are really looking to us to be almost serve as a quasi part of their staff. They expect us to know their business as well as we do, or as well as they do. They expect us to kind of think for them once in a while. And if we do that well, they've turned into a loyal customer for us. And the big thing we want to do is we care about members, right? We want to help them understand, or we want to help, we want to understand where their members are. We want to understand if they've lost some members, and we want to help them figure out ways we can help increase membership. One of those customers is the Art Institute of Chicago. We've been working with them for a number of years now, and their challenges over the years have been what the print quality and what the impact of their membership materials were. They wanted to look a little bit at the inefficiencies they had in the fulfillment process, and then they were looking for somebody that helped clean those things up. They kind of, you know, frankly, laid a bale of hay in front of us, and they really looked for us as a partner to help straighten out what they felt was a really difficult situation for them. So we looked at streamlining their fulfillment. We helped to ensure some quality and accuracy with the some barcoding and some different things we were doing as we did their fulfillment of their packs, membership packets. And then we looked at a lot of ways to figure out ways to save postage. Many times, especially in the direct mail space, the postage discussion is also often something that is often forgotten. People want to focus on print costs. They want to focus a lot on, you know, what's the design going to cost. But many times postage in the management and the efficiency of that can make a big difference in a total marketing budget and how people are using their money. So
Mark, just a question. How do you communicate? You're dealing with a nonprofit. How are you communicating the value proposition? And I know we've got the results side of it, but how did you convince them in the first place to do business with you? And then on the postal side, how are you actually saving them money on the postage piece?
Well, two things. Well, you know, obviously what happens is, and it, you know, sometimes there has to be a start to this stuff, but I think what we've been able to do is we've got a track record now, so whenever we engage with a new cultural institution or a new association, we've got good stories to tell. The Art Institute is one story, but we got a few other ones too. So a lot of times I think in the beginning the clients just got to trust us, and it's kind of been a hand-in-hand process as we've gotten to know the client better, they understand us better, and so trust just builds over time. The postage savings happens a couple different ways. We look at streamlining formats so that we can put more pieces in the mail at one time. There's also processes like commingling and different processes that could, again, 2-3 cents a piece adds up with when people are mailing month in and month out on stuff. So does that kind of answer that, Barb?
Yeah, it sure does. Thanks.
Okay. Right.
And Mark, I do have one more quick question for you.
Sure.
Since I've interrupted you.
Yeah.
On some of these programs that you see, especially in the not-for-profit side of it, are you getting involved in anything like social media, or do you see that on the horizon with any of the programs that you're doing?
We can see it a little bit. I think we're going to talk. I mean, you know, we do provide a Pearl integration or workflow for membership renewals, and I think what's happening is some of the people are, some of the folks we're talking to are looking at the idea that you can pass through a link that would allow people to you know, whether it's a discount on a one-day free membership at an institution or things like that, pass those along to their network of friends through Facebook and things like that. So, and we're seeing some people look at doing that. The big thing is creating the you know, the ability to track all that. So, so in the end, what we feel is like we're, you know, our, what I talk to my team about is our job is to help people sell more widgets, get more members, whatever it is, right? So the results end up being a lot of times save postage, which is great. We also, you know, I don't want to spend, sometimes I don't spend too much time on saving costs. I want to talk about getting more members into the place. So we spend a lot of time looking at effectiveness and the results of what we're looking at, not so much, hey, I saved you 4 cents here, I saved you 2 cents there. And also the efficiency means a lot. If I can help an organization not add a staff person, because we're picking up a lot of efficiencies and how workflows are streamlined or how we're working together as two organizations, those are sometimes soft dollars that, you know, people look at a printing bill, but they may not look at the fact that we don't have to hire somebody because of the work they're doing with Darwell. So we'd like to be able to think we're doing that. So if you go to our website, you'll be able to see this nice quote from this kind client who was very nice to share the fact that they're, you know, very happy with our work, and they've, again, been a loyal customer for a long time. And we've got some other stories that relate to that. So so when we talk about working with, you know, nonprofit loyalty programs, you know, there's a lot of room there for folks to, because there is – a fixed group, if people have an affiliation or if they're in a trade association, they want to learn more about their chosen work field many times, right? Or you got people that have a high interest in art, or if they have a high interest in some sort of culture institution. So what we found is that people are looking for help in a way that's because it's providing a big chunk of their revenue. And so many times we've been able to fill in as a place that almost serves as their full service or full-time partner, where we're helping them on a bunch of different initiatives related to how they relate and talk to their members. So,
and just a couple quick questions,
sure,
that I have for you, Martin, and I've got a couple more for, and
yeah,
please key in any questions that you might have. But, Mark, on the programs that you're running,
mm-hmm,
especially in the not-for-profit segment, can you describe how you're working with those clients to drive people to more of a web-based interaction and give some examples?
Sure. I mean, a typical workflow, let's use this idea of a cultural institution. Typically, they have a membership process of some sort. It could be a dollar value every year. And much like your magazine subscription environment, where you start getting print notices 2 or 3 months before your magazine subscription is over that, hey, it's time to renew for next year. Cultural institutions do much of the same thing, where they might have a 60 or 90-day process of letting a member know that membership is coming due. Trade associations may do the same thing. So there's typically a print production process where, hey, your membership's going to be up in 60 days, enroll now, and you can, you know, there might be some incentive. And, of course, what we've done over the years is tailored different incentives or different messages based upon how much longer or how long it is before the people's membership expires. What we've done is taken that to the next step, and we've included a Pearl integration now, providing people for the members of the institution to go onto a microsite and volunteer additional information about themselves. That could be preferences in the institution. That could be volunteering an email address. There could be some additional qualifying processes. And we've even seen some people create some incentives. Hey, go online, sign up today, and receive X less or some sort of incentive. Obviously, one of the things that people are trying to do is, if I don't have to send 3 notices to a member before I get them to renew, we've saved postage, we've saved print production. Secondly, we've added to our database. We've added an email address. We've understand their preferences better, and that could help us in remarketing or going back to that member in the future. One of the things, obviously, that happens in the cultural institution world is somebody gets energized about an institution, signs up for it, then never goes back for an entire year. because they just didn't think about it, and they go, well, I'm not going to renew my membership for next year because I never went back there. So I think one of the big challenges is always get engagement, figure out how to get members to come back into the facility, come back to the institution, use it, leverage their membership, and then that value is created, and people will want to come back next time.
Okay. Now, I got a question from one of the participants who said, you know, I'm an implant nonprofit, and I'm interested in developing some form of a rewards program. And so, Mark, I'm going to let you just comment on this because you're doing this. What you're really doing with your customer base, if you take a look at it, is you're really sitting down saying, my value prop is that I'm cross-media, and so I can take cost out of the infrastructure by doing some portion of it as opposed to the three mailings. I can do some portion of it electronically, and then if they don't respond to me electronically, I can, in essence, utilize traditional technology to get them potentially back in the fold. So there's cost savings there based on the efficiencies that you're yielding with cross-media.
Yep, yep. And that's the big thing, to get the yield rate up, right, or reduce that churn, which you talked about earlier. If we don't have to lose 15% of our members every year, That ends up growing an organization.
Now, one of the other questions I just got in is, you know, our clients are using email for renewals, and they've already taken the step on eliminating postage and printing. But I'm going to ask you now, so what you're doing, if you take this a step further, is you're really tracking those response mechanisms so that if they don't respond via the email then or an electronic communication, then you sit down and drive the print communication to get them back in the fold. Is that
a
good way of describing it?
Yeah, because obviously people are raising their hand and they're choosing how they want to be talked to, right? You're going to get some people that are going to jump on that email right away, and it's pretty obvious you'll never have to send them a piece of mail ever again. Other people are never going to respond, and obviously that could be an age thing, that could be a preference thing, it could be people can't get, you know, don't have access to a computer. I don't know what it could mean. But so some people are still going to have to be reached through traditional methods. And I do, you know, our thing is, even though we're committed to being a diversified provider of print marketing communications, we're going to coach our clients that integrated communications are going to work best. There are just some things electronically, let's face it, people can delete out of things electronically pretty quickly. So we coach a lot of clients on, look, you're getting good results, but if you really want to leave an impression with that client, a well-printed piece that leaves this, that's not worth the, that's too nice to throw away, could make a big difference in creating some retention and creating some brand significance with that client too.
Okay. Now, Walter, I've got a question for you, and you talked about, you know, being moving from print into variable data and fulfillment and really making that evolution and then ultimately having a client ask you, because you've done such a good job at web-to-print collateral management and fulfillment, manage their incentive programs. Now, the question I got asked is what's your mix now in terms of percentage of revenue that comes from your more traditional print, mailing, variable data fulfillment business, and what portion of it comes from your incentive business?
Okay, well, that's a great question. I would say less than 10 years ago that printing drove about 90% of our business, and 10% was fulfillment. And today, 50% of our volume is print. The rest of our volume would be probably 25 or 30% is in the incentive business, and the balance would be fulfillment and marketing. Barb, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and the bulk of your customers that you do the incentive business for, are they also printing and fulfillment customers?
In just about every case, yes. Mm-hmm. But
okay.
what's driving
it's a good
that?
Mix.
It's a good mix, and marketing, being ahead of the strategy, is driving it all. Being involved or creating the strategy is driving the incentives, the printing, the direct mail, the fulfillment, everything.
Okay.
Driving the strategy. That's key.
Now, The other question that I've gotten, and just a quick one, is could you take a second to talk a bit about the technology that you're using? And I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to let both you respond. Mark, what cross-media technologies are you using?
We've got some homegrown print-on-demand sites that our development team has done over the years. We're also using PageFlex for print-on-demand. And then we're using PageFlex's campaign manager to generate pearls, but we're also using Mindfire. So we're using a mixed group of tools for that. Depends on the application, and it kind of depends on a couple different things that are going on.
In your case, Walter, any specific tools that you're using?
Mindfire is our provider for pearl technology.
Okay.
We're currently using ProMail to drive a lot of our fulfillment work, and we're also have actually written some proprietary software in our incentives and loyalty business. We do have some outsourced partners with the incentive and loyalty business for technology purposes that we could not replicate. But we have written some custom CRM software to help us in the incentives and loyalty business, so we have that constant contact with our clients. But it all integrates through our system, through cross-media.
And one other quick question that I got, Walter, is you're very, very broad-based in terms of the service offerings. Do your customers sometimes think that you're too broad-based, or do they view you as a logical choice given you're doing the print mailing fulfillment and then the migration to incentives?
You know, we don't get that pushback. We never get that pushback. If they believe that we're competent at what we do, they believe they will buy from us what they need. We haven't let a client down yet. We've never had one say to us, you failed because you're too spread out. We have found that the marketing strategy drives a deliverable, not the other way around.
Okay. And one last question, then we'll wrap up. But everybody asks this, so you both can respond. How do you charge for pearls and things like QR codes? And I'll start with Mark.
I'm not doing too much when we get around to charging for QR codes. The generation of those seems pretty simple to do. So sometimes you do have sometimes a customer that's not too sharp and you feel bad. So anyway, I've had my team stay away from really charging too much. I mean, we'll help them figure out how to create it. We want to understand what readers they're possibly going to be using. So sometimes that makes a difference. And as far as pearl generation, it does depend if we're going to have generally I'm going to have a flat fee and then a cost per pearl. It's just going to be dependent on the depth or, you know, how complex the microsite is going to be. And sometimes we end up with layers where we're providing an extra microsite for an internal admin to kind of create a secondary response out of the first response. Generally there's going to be an upfront cost. I do as much as possible to create value around that stuff. We're not going to give any of that stuff away. That's for sure.
Okay. Walter, on the charge for pearls, do you charge, I'm going to say this, a transaction cost for all the pearls you generate and then some form of a program fee, or is there some mechanism that you use to charge?
Both. There is a per recipient fee, and just like I concur with what Mark said, there are layers. When there are layers involved in microsites, we charge appropriately. You know, we have a license. Mark uses, their company uses Mindfire. Our company uses Mindfire. It's not a very expensive technology, but it's a great technology. And we have a license fee, and we try to keep that as reasonable as possible. I can best equate it to a company building websites. In a sense, it looks a lot like that. It acts a lot like that. But it's time and materials is really what it amounts to. And a lot of times what that is doing is helping us drive another deliverable. It's helping us drive a fulfillment program. It's helping us drive a kitting program or a printing program. Mm-hmm. So it is, I like to tell our clients and my salespeople, it's one tool in the toolbox. It's not the panacea. It's not the toolbox. It's a tool.
Great. Well, I'd like to thank Walter and Mark for their time and great insight. I think what you're hearing from both of our speakers is that loyalty programs in general are a huge opportunity for both print and value-added services, whether it's doing things like program planning, It's doing the creative collateral development. It's customer support and handling online and offline support with quick turnaround time. And it's, in Walter's case, actually handling the rewards and redemption management, even though they're using a partner to do some of that. And I think what you want to take a look at, and I think what both Mark and Walter shared with you, is that they've taken a very targeted approach to the market. Somebody asked if Walter was too broad-based, and I think what Walter's done is taken a natural evolution with a set of customers that have multi-tiered marketing, and that's really a very targeted approach to the market, because I'm doing their web fulfillment programs, but then as long as I've got a multi-tiered marketing channel, it's a logical extension where you're going to support the print and variable data for that, and somebody else is going to handle fulfillment of the incentive side of it. I think what you've heard from both Mark and Walter is that they are experts in understanding the customer's business issues. If you go to Mark's website, you'll see case history after case history, as well as Walter's site, about the fact that their focus is on starting with the customer's problem and building out a solution that cuts across multiple media channels. The other thing that I think is important is that what they've done is they've built out a cross-media approach that really drives people to web sites via electronic communications, and it's helping to save money and accelerate response times. And the bottom line in all of this is there's return on investment for both you as well as your customer base. And so I'll leave you with one final thought that I link to expertise, and it's one of my favorite quotes from Walt Disney, and I think that that Walter and Mark epitomize this, and it's that you do what you do so well that people want to see it again and bring their friends. And so with that, I would like to thank everybody for their time and attention this afternoon. If we miss some questions, we'll get back to you. And I would especially like to thank both Walter and Mark for sharing their time and their expertise.